Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. I almost said Red Bluff, Oregon. I wonder if there is one. Anyway, this is Red Bluff, California. Time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. We are going through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're presently in Luke, around chapter 6 and 7. So get your Bible. You can open to that. We'll tell you exactly where we are as we go along.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for my mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. Does it not say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ? Does it not say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. For your commandments are a lamp unto our feet, and your laws a light for our path, so that we may not stumble, but walk that straight and narrow way to life. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. His spirit has gathered them.
One thing we wanted to go back over was something that we also read back in Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21, starting there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And actually, it's the kingdom of the heavens. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you evildoers. And we also yesterday read this, and I didn't know if we brought it out as a, but it's one of the main things that I learned as a new babe. I think this one stuck out maybe the most. It was the biggest thing that I learned 52 or 53 years ago, that we're to be doers. And the Greek word is poieo. I kind of like that word do, though. It's a tiny little word, but it's huge. If you could put that in a, you know, a font size like a 12, 11 or 12, the older you get, the more you need like a 12 font to read a letter and relax. And maybe you need a space of like 1.5 instead of just everything's tight together to help you read better. But if I were to put do in a font, I think I would put, actually it'd be so big, it would, that's the only word you could get on a page. That's how big that was to me. How about you, Brett, when you started? Did that jump out at you, the word do?
Absolutely. It's one of those things where you're raised a certain way that do is not, you don't have to do anything. That's how I was raised. You don't have to do anything. But right here on the page, and the one talking said do.
Do is everything. Poieo. It is the most important thing. It's not what we say. It's not what comes out of our mouth, but it's our actions that will judge us. And that's, you go to court of law, and really, you could talk like you're, you know, blue in the face, but the actual facts will come from your actions. They will weigh all the evidence of what you are doing, where you are at different times. They will do a time chart, and they'll see you driving to the scene of the crime, getting out of the car with a gun in your hand, or, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, if you're a bank robber or whatever. Yeah, but these bits of evidence will be exactly what you're doing. And they'll also look at your what you're saying at times, but it's not what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, I'm just coming here to make a withdrawal. That's all you say. Well, you are, but you've got a gun in your hand and you're going to make more than a withdrawal. You're going to make a large withdrawal. And later on in Luke, you see these words like come, hear, do, build your house on the rock, dig deep, all these action words. Those are interesting words that we didn't bring out yesterday. I was looking back in my notes at things that stood out to me, and I like a wide margin Bible, and I always write notes. I'll like that, come. Jesus says, you know, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden. Hear, come in here, and do, and build. Build your house, you know, your house, which is consists of your feet, your legs, your brain, your intentions, your hands, the things you do. Come and build your house on the rock. It's the rock of salvation he's really talking about. And dig deep. In other words, lay aside all the ideas you had before, all of man's. All you have to do is just pay your taxes and be a good citizen, you know, or whatever. And this says none of that. Well, it does actually say to do that and to live a good life, but that's not a way of salvation. That's a way to be happy here on earth. And lay your foundation on the rock, not on a man, but on Jesus.
One of the main differences between the beginning scripture in Matthew chapter 7 about this same subject about building a foundation is that the people that are saying Lord, Lord are different than in the one in Luke.
Oh, how's that, Andy?
It's interesting, Gil. It says, why many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So that's the many talking to Jesus. And in Luke, it's Jesus talking and says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? Those are two totally different things.
So who's calling, saying Lord, Lord the most? The guy digging a ditch and yelling about stuff, or the person in church, the churchgoer?
Well, in this one, the people that said Lord, Lord, the first one, are the ones that did not do what he said at all. And here he's talking and go, why don't you do what I say? And then he repeats to himself, and this time he puts more detail in it. He says, you come to me, hear my words and do them. And he says, you got to dig deep now. He didn't say that in Matthew about digging deep. He says, building a house, he talked about that, but laying a foundation on a rock, he said that. But he didn't talk about digging deep in Matthew at all. So now he's getting along a little bit further in someone's life, and they may not be digging in, they may not be laying that foundation the way he wanted them to. And so he's speaking to them again. No, you have to dig deep.
Now we were comparing Luke 6:46, where we were talking about in the last tape, and he's comparing Matthew 7:21-23. That's Luke 6:46. If you want to write that down, if you're listening to this, Luke 6:46, and Matthew 7:21-23 about being a doer.
Yeah, one thing I think to answer your question from earlier, Gil, was that you were talking about, was it the person that goes to church or is it the guy out there digging a ditch? Well, he says everyone.
But who's more commonly using Lord, Lord?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So a lot of folks that are going to church or maybe worshiping God in their own way.
They are crying out, Lord, Lord. Here Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord? It's a whole different view.
If I'm your boss.
Yes.
Do what I say. If I'm really your boss, or why do you turn around and do something contrary to what I'm telling you? You know, don't parents say the same thing to their kids? And then we were really in Luke chapter 7. Where are we, Andy? Do you remember?
In Luke 7, we read the first context.
1 through 11. 1 through 10.
1 through 10, and we're on 11 now.
11 to 17.
11 to 17, okay. And it came to pass soon afterwards that he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples went with him, and a great crowd. And when he drew near to the gate of the city, lo, one dead was carried out, an only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd of the city was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, pitied her, and said to her, weep not. And he came near, and touched the bier, and the bearers stopped. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And the one dead sat up and began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. And fear took hold on all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet is arisen among us, and God has visited his people. And this word went forth concerning him in the whole of Judea, and all the region around about.
So here are people that have gone to church for years. They've never seen any of this happen, especially a person that's dead in this. They're carrying him, apparently either to the place where they're going to do a funeral or maybe to bury him. Oh, and the bearers stopped. Well, the bearers of the bier, that's an English term. What is it saying? Oh, we've all got our panons out. What does it say in the other translation?
This one says in verse 13.
Yeah.
Was it 13?
14.
14. 14. 14, it says, and he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt.
B-I-E-R. And John always wrote in almost like Elizabethan English.
Yes.
You know, like King James. So coffin.
I took it to be something like that. Yeah. Well, I didn't have any idea, though.
I did, too, but I forgot the word coffin. For some reason, coffin.
Casket.
Yeah, casket. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, touch the bier and the coffin. And I say to thee, arise, and the dead sat up and began to speak. I've heard that actually happening when they take him to the mortuary and they start preparing him for burial. I've heard of people that were not dead yet.
All of them wasn't gone yet.
Well, I happened to, in high school, my junior year in high school, I took a class in, writing a newspaper. And we did the school paper, and the editor of the paper was, his name was Rick Paskey, and his dad was a, what do they call it?
A mortician.
He was a mortician. Mm-hmm. And there was a few stories that came out of Rick. You know, knowing him and all these years, he had prepared the bodies for burial. And some people have not been, and maybe it didn't happen to Rick's dad, but when you go to different association meetings and so on, you meet with a lot of other morticians. And this is in a town called Solvay in California, a small town where word gets around pretty fast. But Rick tells some pretty good stories, you know, about his dad being a mortician, and that's... I'm glad my dad wasn't a mortician, by the way. He actually was a really super nice guy. Really liked him. But, and if you read in that, was it a little group that was walking around him? So we always want to look at where he is, where Jesus is. Now he's in Nain, and his disciples are with him, and also what's called a great crowd. Or one place it's a great crowd, and another place it's called a large crowd of the city was with her, with the lady. And they saw this, and he just said, all he said was, arise, which is part of the word resurrection, anastasis, stand up. He said, stand up, resurrection. So there's more, you know, to know about the resurrection. So we know in the last days we're going to stand up, but also we see Jesus would just, did he say he touched him or he just said, he just spoke, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The one dead, and oh, he touched the coffin. He didn't say he touched him. Touched the coffin, but it was all it was
like to stop him, stop the people that were burying it. He just stopped them.
It's
still
not the laying on of hands,
right?
But he said, "Arise." He touched the coffin, and the coffin didn't rise up and talk.
No,
but just by the command. Arise, just that one word. And isn't it interesting that the Bible teachers, the ministers, the ones on TV and so on make a big grandiose thing of any little thing they do. And sometimes you don't even know if it really happened. You just see a lot of emotions, but you really don't know if this has been staged or some people they found out actually it's been staged. And they say a whole lot of words to make themselves look grand and nothing really happens. This guy was dead and it was in a town that everybody knew he was dead. And Jesus said one word, no ceremony. It's going one direction. They're taking him to the ground to bury him, and it goes a whole different direction. It goes against convention where he's going to go down, and now, and that word anastasis is exactly the opposite word, arise.
And he was the only son of his mother who was a widow. That story's been told before in the Bible about a widow and a child. You know, God has a special place for widows and for orphans. But here was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow.
You know, you got a mom and pop store in a town. You got a little town, and it's called Nain. You got a little store there, and it's doing all right. It's keeping you alive, and you're able to sell enough to make enough profit to live. And they bring in a Walmart that's going to put you right out of business. And they can get anything and have it right there. Anything you need is exactly right there. And think of a church. It's your only source of living. It's your living. And in comes a big box church, which is happening in all over America. But how about if you are the only church in a country and you're going to put out a lot of ministers out of business, and in walks the Son of God and starts raising the dead. What's the future of your livelihood?
It's gone.
Is there any wonder why they got angry?
Oh, no.
They're losing their jobs. Within 3.5 years, at the very end, Jesus became so popular, and he performed something that was so dramatic, and it was, we'll get to it, I won't say any more than this, it was so absolutely dramatic that all of Israel was turning to Jesus, and the leading the way was the chief, the high priest, and then the other priests, and all the religious people were leading the way, And even Pontius Pilate, as wicked as he was, the leader, the Roman leader, tried to get them to beg off of it because they knew for envy that he was being delivered up. But these are the things that he did that actually were causing Jesus' death. He knew he was going to die because he was putting them out of business.
These people call him a great prophet because they've heard stories of these great prophets that did things like this.
Yeah.
And in their whole life, they'd never seen one. And now here he is, and they call him, they say it out, he's a great prophet, has arisen among us.
And he's doing, of 3.5 years, he's doing so many things, it's exploding. His popularity is exploding with the crowd. And he's going to bring in something brand new that's not been before. Do you think that's going to happen when Jesus is about ready to return?
You talking like latter rain?
I'm talking now.
Now?
Yeah. When this happens, it's going to happen. It's likely already beginning. I'm not going to say much more than that. But this is what people are looking for. And some people will be awed by it and so on, and some people are going to be jealous. Any more in that context?
Except everybody in the whole, it says the whole of Judea and the region round about. So then, what is in the whole of Judea?
In the middle, you mean? Or where?
Yes. I mean, if it's in the whole of Judea, it's going to influence everywhere in Judea,
right,
which was, what was in Judea?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem was there, the temple, the whole thing. This is shouting.
God's house, the seat where God.
All of the high religious people, everything.
Luke 7:18-23.
And his disciples reported to John all of these things. And John called to him certain two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord, saying, Art thou who cometh, or we look for another? And having come to him, the men said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou who cometh, or look we for another? In that hour he cured many of sicknesses and scourges and evil spirits, and on many blind he bestowed sight. And he answered and said to them, Go and report to John what things you have seen and heard. The blind look up, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good tidings preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be stumbled in me. So we know one thing here right away. John the Baptist was in prison, and he couldn't go out there. And John called and said, certain two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one that comes, or do we look for another?
This is not in Matthew. This is added to it. So apparently it was not spoken. You know, if you think, look at this as a stair step.
Yes.
The part, verses, like in verse 20 through 21 is not in Matthew. It's not in Mark at all. And this is what's not in Matthew. And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you he, or is who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many that were blind, he bestowed sight.
And he says, Go and report to John what things you've seen and heard. In other words, they just saw all of that happen. He didn't answer the question. He did all of those things right when they were there. And he says, all right, go tell him what you saw.
Yeah, the details are not in Matthew, but they're here in
Yeah, there
Luke.
Are no details over there.
Right. So when we first meet people, you just tell them the basics first, like be a doer, like that. And that one thing that we went back and recapped that we read about yesterday, about being not just a hearer, but a doer. These are the big things that people need to hear. So what's big here is, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And Jesus answered, go tell John whatever you've seen and heard.
So that's over here is like an outline or like a skeleton. And over here, we're starting to add more to the picture, more to the picture to learn more about it. But at first, that information is enough to know and believe at first.
Yeah. And he doesn't say, go tell my cousin John who he is.
He doesn't.
And that's that priesthood part of Jesus' family, not part of his lineage that where he's the king, but this is that lineage that you see off on the side because Elizabeth and Mary were cousins.
It's also interesting that John, he's asking, are you the one? Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else? And this is after he had baptized him. So God had already revealed to him that.
And he saw the heavens opened.
He saw all that.
That's in Matthew chapter 3.
Right. And so Now it kind of goes back to that exposing man's frailties and things like that when I hear that, because now he's kind of stepping back a little bit.
When you say that, what do you mean? What's the frailty that you're exposing here?
Almost like he's kind of doubting.
Very good. Very good. Because why?
I got to get rid of that word, kind of. He was doubting.
But, and why was he doubting? Where was he?
Because he's in jail.
He's in jail. All of these things, he's locked off by himself, and there, that can happen to people.
He hasn't seen it himself.
He hadn't seen it himself because he hasn't seen it himself. He's just heard about it. Sends two people to get a witness for it.
And at first, when he baptized Jesus, the heavens opened, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased to listen.
He was all there for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting, and I've mentioned what you said before, and people are like, I go, well, wait, if you get into a bad situation, you could start doubting things that you haven't seen and you've mm-hmm. just heard about.
At that time, of all those born of a woman, you know, fallen, you know, since Adam and Eve fell and had children, of those children, there was none born greater than John the Baptist. He was born in Luke chapter 1, filled with the Holy Spirit.
And by the way, we didn't learn that until Luke chapter 1 when he was born, because we started out when he was 30. Over in Matthew, he starts at 30 years old.
Luke is the one that goes into all the details, but people, they're not ready for that when they first read the Bible the first time. There's other things that have to be where Jesus is a focus. He'll fill in the details as you keep reading the Bible. And we had another way that we had started learning, and that was doing the foundation truths first, one at a time, going through every place the word metanoos, repent, that Jesus said, his first instruction, change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. That's the first thing we started with. And boy, I suggest you do that. And the next subject was faith. And it's in exactly that order. We change our mind and we start believing and our faith structure.
So God gives us the order of things that he wants us to learn them in that foundation truths line of items.
But now we're looking at it by doing this stair step through Matthew, then Mark, then Luke. We're looking at it another way, but the same thing. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.